Welcome back to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Wiseup. Today we have a bonus episode for the month of May. That's right. You know what it is. All the supporters on all the many supporter feeds everywhere. Get the bonus shows every month. 160, hell, probably 170 now and counting. Every month we do it. Every month you'll love it. Unless you're one of the free feed losers, you know. And you're not loving it. You're not loving it. But today we're going to talk about the Fugees, okay? The big Fugees conspiracy. You know, Praz, he's one third of the Fugees. He's on trial. Turns out he was an FBI informant all these years, or so he says. We'll take another look at him. We'll take a look at some of the claims about Lauryn Hill, because you know Lauryn Hill, they try to say she's just a crazy conspiracy theorist all these years, claiming she hates white people. But little did we know, she was exposing the Vatican back before everyone was talking about it. Just a couple years after Sinead O'Connor got blasted for exposing the Vatican. But we're going to talk about Praz, talk about his trial, and a lot of these connections to famous folks. Obama, Trump, Leo DiCaprio, even Leo DiCaprio, the best actor of all time. And you're never going to guess who else shows up in this analysis. I'll save that. You're going to be shocked. I'll tell you. Steve Bannon. He's a part of this. That's right. We're going to talk about all that. Then we'll wrap it up with some tangential discussions about Old Dirty Bastard, ODB, and the film Bullworth. All right. So without further ado, let's get into the Fugees conspiracy. And if you're on the free feed, you know where to go. I've got so many places. The easiest way to do it is if you're on Apple Podcasts, that is. The easiest way is just tap the button and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. I've enabled that. A lot of painstaking work to make that happen. I had to upload 500 episodes from the past. But anyway, I did all that stuff, and it's there. Take it. Sign up. You get early access. You get the bonus shows. You unlock every bonus show from the past that you've been missing out on. You're going to love it. Or you do the most popular option. That's patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. You get all those things. Two free books. A comment section. All the greatest things. But sometimes it's a little technical. So that's why I did the Apple Podcast. Some people say, hey, I don't want to figure out how to get this RSS feed plugged into my podcast app. I get it. That's where Apple's there to help you. Yeah, but I got the Patreon. Then I got my own VIP section. That's the cheapest way. You want to save some money? You want to save some money, partner? Go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, hit the VIP tab, or I'm on Rockfin. So there you go. Go to my website, IlluminatiWatcher.com, hit the VIP tab. You can compare all the systems, all the platforms, their costs, the pros, the cons, everything. All right? Okay. Now, the Fugees. And this analysis came about because I made a post on Instagram about Praz saying he was an FBI informant and then showing how, you know, Lauryn Hill that says she's been crazy for 20 years. And little did I know, this is the most popular post on my Instagram of all time. And it was popping. People were dropping lines from the Fugees albums that seem relevant. You can scroll through. I'm not going to list them all. I couldn't even keep up with the comments. There's hundreds of comments. Even Disaster. Shout out Disaster from No Jumper. The king of battle rap weighed in on it. The king of battle rap, Disaster, weighed in on it. And I thought, you know what? This deserves a deeper dive. Because the Fugees story is interesting. And if you're too young, the Fugees, they were a rap group in the 90s. In 1996, they released The Score, and everybody listened to The Score. Now, my age, I was about 16 or 17 when that album dropped, and spent countless hours driving around listening to it. So, of course, that was, you know, everyone says their generation had the best music, but, you know, it was a great album. We'll just say that. But everybody was listening to it. But then after the group broke up a couple years later, they each took on solo acts and they continued to crush it. And now they formed up because Wyclef Jean and Praz were cousins. Praz went to high school with Lauryn Hill. Wyclef, he's not really a part of this show too much. He, not a lot of Illuminate confirmed of what I could tell in my short look at him. But he's tied into politics. So, of course, there's a little bit of something going on there, right? The president of Haiti appointed him the ambassador at large in 2007. And then he tried to run for president. I guess he was ineligible because he was not a resident of Haiti for long enough. Whatever. But the whole reason the Fugees broke up is because Wyclef Jean was sleeping with Lauryn Hill. Of course, Wyclef was married at the time. In fact, I think he's still married to the same woman. I could be wrong. But Lauryn Hill got pregnant. Allegedly told Wyclef the baby was his, but then he found out he was not. He was not the father, Mari Povich style. And that's allegedly why they broke up. Let's first talk about Lauryn Hill. She was labeled a kooky conspiracy theorist. All right. She made an appearance in my book from 2014, I think. Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic. Featured in Complex Magazine and on Shade 45 All Out Show, where I was duped into going on there again last year, if you remember. Oh, boy. I just don't know that I'm for that audience. All right. A lot of people called in. They hated it. They hate it when you question their perception of the world and these celebrities, but they have to know that the celebrities are given a mold that they have to fit into for the mainstream media to present to the public for consumption. And when you question that, they don't like it because they really look up to these artists. So I understand it in a way. All right. Now, in 1996, there's a Newsweek article on the Fugees being the new conscious of rap. And Lauryn Hill said, "We're trying to do something positive with the music because it seems like only the negative is rising to the top these days. It only takes a drop of purity to clean a cesspool." And anytime you got an artist saying stuff like that, things don't turn out well for them, all right? Tupac, even Tekashi 6ix9ine, we talked about him trying to push some positive messages. I mean, whatever, right? I get it. He's a very strange character, all right? But that was in 1996, and yeah, no, Lauryn Hill was... They were trying to push something that wasn't gangster rap, which was very popular back then, still is. They call it drill music. I mean, seems very similar to me. But now also in 1996, and you can see why the media, they love to help perpetuate some of these false perceptions sometimes if an artist isn't going along with the program. And in 1996, she was also the victim of a rumor that persists to this day. Even people in the comments on the Instagram post repeated this. The claim was that she made statements about how she didn't like white people listening to her music. And this came about, and this is from Snopes, which, look, Snopes has some problems sometimes. But apparently this came about because a guy called into Howard Stern's show and just said it. And it caught on like wildfire. In fact, Eminem, I believe on the, was it the Slim Shady, the first big album, the first studio album, talked about pawning Lauryn Hill's tapes so her kids could starve or something like that, right? But this is what she said. She actually didn't say any of that, right? And in 1998, at a taping at MTV, this is from Snopes, she said this. She addressed the rumor. She said, "You know, everybody has to be really careful. You know what they read and hear, because you never know what's true. You know, a couple of years ago, some kid had heard that I said that I didn't want white people to buy my records, and that really, really hurt me a great deal, because I like to think my music is really universal, you know, And I've been everywhere, and I have fans everywhere, but because of some rumor that, you know, some radio personality chose to, you know, to say on his radio show, he had a bunch of people believing something that they'd never seen or never heard themselves, but just heard a rumor. Now, this was in 1996, pre-internet. You couldn't fact check nothing back then. So things just took off. A rumor could take off. So the band breaks up. So the Fugees break up. And then in 98, she drops Miss Education of Lauryn Hill. Beautiful album. And then that one exploded too. Then around 2000, she fell out of the public eye. And she started saying, she started talking publicly about pressures of the fame being too much. And she would later say in an interview with Essence the following. People need to understand that the Lauryn Hill they were exposed to in the beginning was all that was allowed in that arena at that time. I had to step away when I realized that for the sake of the machine, I was being way too compromised. I felt uncomfortable about having to smile on someone's face when I really didn't like them or even know them well enough to like them. Isn't there a track on the score about wearing a mask? Remember that? So, again, the same thing we hear constantly from artists, that they are more or less supposed to be puppets. All right. Now, here's where things get interesting. In 2003, In December 2003, Hill, during a performance in Vatican City, spoke of the corruption, exploitation, and abuses in reference to the molestation of boys by Catholic priests in the United States and the cover-up of offenses by Catholic Church officials. She said that at the Vatican City. High-ranking church officials were in attendance, but Pope John Paul II was not present. The Catholic League called Hill pathologically miserable and claimed her career was in decline. The following day, I mean, imagine the Catholic priest throwing shots, saying your career has been in decline anyway. Anyway, the following day, several reporters suggested that Hill's comments at the Vatican may have been influenced by her spiritual advisor, Brother Anthony. Okay, well, fast forward 20 years, turns out she was right. Turns out she was right. Just like Sinead O'Connor. She was saying that stuff too in the 90s when everybody hated her. See how that works? They get you to hate these people when they speak the truth. And then, so that happened in 2003, and you know, she's been relatively quiet. 2012, they snatched her up for tax fraud. That old classic trick. For failing to file taxes. She actually served prison time in 2013 for this, okay? I'm going to read you from the ibtimes.co.uk from 2013. This is where it gets really interesting, okay? Fuji singer Hill, 37, was sentenced to 3 months jail followed by 3 months home confinement for failing to pay $500,000 to the tax man in the United States. Hill claimed the sum was outstanding because she had, quote, withdrawn from society after alleged threats against her family. She was married, or is she still married? To Bob Marley's son. All right. Which, you know, Bob Marley also disrupting the system as well. Just like Tupac and stuff. Let's see. She was imprisoned after failing to pay the amount within the stipulated 2-week time frame. During her trial, and listen up, Hill was ordered by the judge in Newark, New Jersey, to undergo counseling because of her conspiracy theories, including that artists are being oppressed by a plot involving the military and the media. Oh, dear. Hill pled guilty to charges of tax evasion last year. Her lawyers said, yeah, blah, blah, blah. You don't care about that. Hill vanished from public life to raise her 5 children by Rohan Marley, the son of acclaimed reggae singer Bob, following the success of her album, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, 98. Shortly before she was arrested last year, Hill penned a diatribe declaiming the music industry. In the rant, always rants. It's like Kanye West too. When he starts going off against the hand that feeds, start biting the hand that feeds. It's always a rant. In the rant, Hill blasted pop music for a, quote, climate of hostility, false entitlement, manipulation, racial prejudice, sexism, and ageism. Quote, over-commercialization and its resulting restrictions and limitations can be very damaging and distorting to the inherent nature of the individual. Referring to herself, of course. And then during her trial, Hill claimed she is still forced to live under the pernicious economic hierarchy imposed by the slave trade. She told the court, quote, I am a child of former slaves who had a system imposed on them. I had an economic system imposed on me. She's been very outspoken about all this stuff. And everyone chalked it up to her just being a crazy conspiracy theorist. Okay. Even though, you know, her crazy conspiracies that the judge made her go to counseling for about how the artists are being oppressed by a plot involving the military and the media. I mean, what about CIA Mockingbird? What about FBI COINTELPRO? Are those crazy conspiracy theories? What about the movie industry brought to you by the military-industrial complex? So Lauryn Hill, painted as a conspiracy theorist, but wait, let's talk about Praz, because this is where it gets real interesting. He's being accused of being involved with a whole lot of political buggery. All right, I'm going to read to you from CNN. Praz Michel is accused of acting as an unregistered agent of China and Malaysian billionaire Joe Lau. Is it Joe Low? Joe Low, is that his name? Joe Lau. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Working in the U.S. to gain political connections and influence. Prosecutors contend that Praz was paid millions by Lau to secure access to both the Obama and Trump administrations, and that he attempted to use those connections to advocate on Lau and China's behalf. What are we talking about? Well, apparently Praz was one of the top donors for Obama back in 2013, but then later Praz would be indicted back in 2019. For this same thing, right? For this, in fact, that might be what he's on trial for now. It took 4 years, maybe. For part of the criminal conspiracy with this Malaysian financier, Joe Lau, and this company called 1MDB. It's a funding company that Lau allegedly stole the money from and basically gave to Praz to funnel the funds illegally over to Obama in 2013. Then in 2021, he was indicted again for doing the same thing with the Trump administration. Because he wanted the Trump administration to drop investigations into Joe Lau and this 1MDB conspiracy that he had already been indicted for. And this is very typical. I always talk about this. I took a Politics in America course in college, and one of the sections was on lobbyists. And they have to report the candidates they financially donate to. And you'll find that they donate to both parties. Because to them, you know, in a capitalist environment, they're really just concerned with making money. They don't really care exactly who the president is. I mean, obviously, they want the president that makes their job easier, that cuts red tape and removes restrictions and regulations to protect workers and customers and all that. But ultimately, it doesn't really matter. They want to send money to these politicians so that the politicians sort of feel like, well, okay, you scratched my back, I got to scratch yours a little bit. That's everybody down the line. Big pharma, oil, everybody. They all do it. They all donate to both candidates. It's whoever has a better chance of winning, they donate more too, but they donate to both. And that's kind of what they were doing here, Praz and and Joe Lau were working. And Praz is also being accused of trying to extradite a Chinese dissident by paying off this Republican fundraiser. More to come on this. It might actually be the most interesting part of this whole show. Doesn't sound like it at first glance. But, yeah. Okay, so all this stuff comes to a head at the trial in March of 23. Where Leonardo DiCaprio testified because he had been approached by Joe Lau before. Right? I'm going to read you from CNN. Because I know some of you out there are like, oh, you love him so much. I'm going to read you from the news. So you don't think there's any, what do you call it? Favoritism being played here or something? The news says, DiCaprio testified for about an hour on his relationship with Lau and a bid from prosecutors to show that Lau used stolen money to curry favor with actors, models, and politicians in the United States. It's likely that prosecutors are using DiCaprio as a charismatic figure to both explain the extent of the alleged Malaysian money scheme and also to bring star power that would outshine even Praz Michel. Which is true. And again, this is just how the system works. The wealth gets you connected to people with influence and power. That seems to me why a lot of people would want to get into politics. It ain't for the salary. It's for the connections. It's for that Rolodex. They call it a Rolodex anymore? So CNN claims that the prosecutors are alleging that the funds Joe Lau was using was money taken from this company, 1MDB, then laundered through film studios, such as Red Granite Pictures. Red Granite Pictures gave us such films as The Wolf of Wall Street, one of my favorite movies. In fact, I think it's on my top four on my Letterboxd list. Which DiCaprio won a Golden Globe and thanked Joe Lau personally in his acceptance speech. I should listen to it so that I know how to pronounce this guy's name right. I don't care. You know what I'm saying. Red Granite Pictures also gave us a film called Horns. That was a film that starred the dude that played Little Harry Potter. It's a guy who wakes up with horns on his head like the devil, like Pan. Now, fun fact, Red Granite Pictures, their logo, I think it's a broken up group now. Their logo was a red circle. It was like the Ouroboros snake eating its tail. Illuminate confirmed, right? So that was back in March when DiCaprio showed up, graced everyone with his presence. Then the deliberation started on April 24th, just recently. And the bombshell dropped. And wait till you hear who got roped into this. From Rolling Stone, I will read to you. The Fugees' Praz Michel discussed his relationship with Malaysian financier Joe Lau and said he voluntarily met with FBI agents regarding China's efforts to extradite a prominent dissident after making the bold decision to testify at his own federal trial on Tuesday, April 18th. It's rare for defendants to take the stand at their own trials, but Praz Michel reportedly told the judge he chose to do so after consulting with my attorneys and the universe. Oh, brother. This guy's consulting with the universe now. Okay. Later in his testimony, Praz addressed his alleged efforts to get the U.S. to extradite Guo, the dissident Chinese billionaire and close Steve Bannon associate. Oh, dear. Along with denying that he acted as an agent for China in this matter, Praz said he voluntarily met with FBI agents on multiple occasions to discuss Guo and three Americans being held hostage in China. Praz said, I took it upon myself to report because I thought the FBI should know. Now, I read that. I said, you know what? That name looks familiar. Not Steve Bannon. Like, I've talked about him a lot. But the name Guo, that looks real familiar. So what we're going to do is we're going to go back in time. we're going to go back to 2020. There was an episode I released. At the time of release, I named the episode QAnon and the Occult Part 2. Pepe the Frog, Sigil Magic, Order Out of Chaos, and Steve Bannon. If you recall, in 2020, things were red hot. And they were conspiracy theorists were under fire everywhere. So I changed the title to American Occult Part 2. Pepe the Frog, Sigil Magic, Order Out of Chaos, and Steve Bannon. That's where you can find it. September 2020. All right. In fact, I'm going to play you the clip of your boy talking about these characters. This Steve Bannon and this Guo Wengi. I don't know how you say his damn name. And how they fit into, we were talking about COVID back then, all right? The thing from 2020 that will never go away, which I don't know. I think Biden said it's going away, didn't he? I don't even know. Does anybody care anymore? So, oh, and by the way, for all you smart asses out there who thought I had long haulers, you're wrong. I went to the, if you listen to Breaking Social Norms, I probably talked about this. I went to the immunologist because I actually thought I had long haulers. I got COVID in October and I've been sick for 6 months. Turned out it was just a dumb sinus infection. My nasal passages were so swollen up. They put a camera up there and showed me the pictures. I said, okay, you're right, doc. And he put me on prednisone to reduce the swelling and an antibiotic for 3 damn weeks. I'd taken 3 rounds already this winter, everybody. And I don't take antibiotics too often. Because it wrecks your gut microbiome. And when your gut microbiome goes out, everything else falls like dominoes. Your mental health, everything. And so now I'm on antibiotics. I got 1 more week to go. But it was just a sinus infection the whole time. Who would have thought? Thank goodness. So thanks everybody for sending out the thoughts and prayers. I know people shit on the thoughts and prayers. And I get the sentiment behind that. Like, I get it. But I also appreciate it. I think thoughts and prayers actually help. So, anyway, the thing from 2020 is going away for your boy. All right. So one big point for Big Pharma on that one, because Big Pharma put a big camera up my nose and gave me a bunch of medicine. Don't at me. I know antibiotics aren't great for you. I don't give a shit. I've been sick for 6 months. It's been a total nightmare, but we made it through, everybody. Waited through Dark Brandon's Dark Winter, and we're out on the other side. Okay, enough of me rambling about it. Let's go back to September 2020 and take a listen to this clip and pay attention to the name Guo Wengui. I'm going to guess I didn't know how to say it back then either. So take a listen to this clip, and I'll hit you on the other side. What was curious was that I actually recorded the first part. And it was in the editing stages where I had like some audio clips and such. And on September 18th, a guy named Bobby, he slid in those DMs and he sent me something shocking. And I couldn't believe what I was reading. Basically, I'll give you the short version of it here. That some Chinese virologists released a paper on September 18th, 2020, it claims COVID-19 was manufactured in a Chinese lab. And these virologists have fled China for their safety and are in America right now. One of them, Li Mengyan, went on Tucker Carlson and said that the Chinese government released this man-made virus on purpose. Which, I don't know if you've heard those theories. They claim that they do this sort of thing over there to keep the population down. All them elderly folks that are over there bogging down the system with their rhino boner pills or whatever it is they do, that they keep the population down with this. That's a theory. I have no idea if that's true. I know nothing of China or the Chinese government. But that's the claim that this virologist from China said on Tucker Carlson. Well, it turns out these virologists, they work for groups called the Rule of Law Society and the Rule of Law Foundation, which sounds very much order out of chaos-y, right? Very order. That's what we're being presented with, is the approach of order and law and enforcement and control, authoritarianism versus pure chaos.
Well, it turns out these groups were co-founded by none other than Steve Bannon. He was the director of these groups until he got arrested in August. He got arrested, by the way, for fraud on the Build the Wall campaign, I guess. I didn't follow the wall thing. I know that was one of the big things when President Trump got elected. He promised he was going to build a wall and Mexico was going to pay for it. And then somewhere along the way, they started a fundraiser for it, I guess. I don't understand it. I don't follow the news like that. The issue here is that the mainstream media says there's no evidence of a lab release. This is fake news entirely. But the Trump administration was pushing a theory about this COVID lab created virus back in May, apparently. That's what it says here on the Yahoo News. Now, Steve Bannon, he founded those rule of law groups. He co-founded them, right? Well, who did he co-found them with? Well, it turns out a Chinese billionaire named Guo Wang. Oh boy, Wangi. And this guy also started a site called G News that was pushing fake news, quote unquote, and the COVID lab conspiracy. And Guo Wangi moved to New York back in 2014. Now, is it true, right? Is it true that this lab in Wuhan created this virus? Well, according to the news, the mainstream media, they say that the papers presented by these Chinese virologists are not peer-reviewed, nor are they in published magazines, or journals, I should say. Then they cite some science nerds. Carl Bergstrom says it's a bunch of BS. I'm paraphrasing. The official theory that they seem to be in support of is that COVID originated from bats. And one theory was that the bat with the COVID was in a lab being studied and it got leaked. That's another theory. But a U.S. epidemiologist says it's highly unlikely this was a lab accident because, and this is the funniest part, there is a stringent safety protocol there in Wuhan. Oh, I'm sure. I'm so sure it's so stringent and so safe. What could go wrong? Like I told you back in January, these nerds are going to kill us all.
So this Google guy, he's something else, right? If you go to his Wikipedia, listen to this stuff, all right? Guo Wangui, born May 10th, 1970, or October 5th, 1968, they're not sure. Also known by a bunch of other names, is an exiled Chinese billionaire businessman who became a political activist and controls Beijing Zenith Holdings and other assets. At the peak of his career, this is from Wikipedia. At the peak of his career, he was the 73rd richest person in China. And there's a lot of rich people in China, let me tell you. Guo was accused of corruption and other misdeeds by the Chinese authorities and fled to the United States in late 2014 after learning he was going to be arrested under allegations of bribery, kidnapping, money laundering, fraud, and RAPE. If you can believe that. This guy is allegedly a pretty bad character. Guo claims the charges are politically motivated and are a product of campaign and political retribution carried out against him by the Chinese government. Guo is a colleague of Steve Bannon and a member of former U.S. President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort. Guo claims to be a whistleblower, but some of his statements were unable to be verified by newspapers such as the New York Times. Between 2018 and 2020, Guo launched two media projects with Steve Bannon, G News and GTV Media Group. In 2021, Guo reached a settlement with the SEC to pay $539 million in refunds and fines in connection with the illegal fundraising. In March 2023, Guo was arrested by U.S. federal authorities on fraud and money laundering charges. Guo has been using an online misinformation network to promote the use of unproven treatments from COVID-19, as well as pushing conspiracy theories about vaccines developed by Pfizer and Moderna. Now, a lot of that ties into this other bigger conspiracy about the conspiracy world, about the alternative media, the independent media, and I'm lumped in there, right? I'm right there with them. And you and I know that a lot of these guys and girls and people, They've been talking about the same stuff since 2020. All right. But we have to understand, because look, as a conspiracy theorist truther, you got to question everybody and everything. Do not get wrapped up in the ecosphere of just believing whatever one personality tells you. I always tell you, don't listen to me. Don't believe me. I want you to look it up for yourself. I'm telling you the truth. I give you references all the time. I don't lie to you. I have zero interest in that. I'm not interested in selling fear or lying to you. I have none of that. I don't want it. But there's a lot of money and a lot of power behind these things. And I think from my personal viewpoint, which I know I'm like a pretty socially liberal guy, so there's that filter of reality I have. But I think there's a lot of misinformation spreading, and the power sources and the wealth behind it come from right-wing authoritarian sources. Okay. That's why I think Ali Alexander's name is just coincidentally being omitted from any kind of conversations being had. You know, the guy's been real chummy on InfoWars, been on there a million times. The same InfoWars that's complaining about Disney grooming kids and liberal Democrats grooming kids. And turns out this very hardcore right-wing dude, conspiracy theorist, was allegedly sending... He apologized for it, so I don't know if it's allegedly anymore, for soliciting nudes from teenage boys, 15 years old, 17 years old. The boys came forward and said, yeah, it happened. Then Ali apologized, which, you know, take from that what you will. I'm just saying, I think we have to be careful. We question all these news sources that we listen to. We know Steve Bannon's into the occult. We talked about him many times on this show. He subscribes to these belief systems and philosophies from Julius Evola, Rene Guénon's traditionalism, George Jurdeff. He's embracing chaos magic and arguably behind Pepe the Frog and QAnon and all this stuff. Surprise, just a couple of degrees of separation from all this, and he's looking at putting a decade in prison. And I don't know, right? I don't know. Maybe they're just being picked on. Maybe. I couldn't tell you. Paranoid American made a comment that Bullworth was a movie we should look into. I've never seen it. That was back in the 90s. It was in 98, I think. And there was a period in the late 90s where I got my driver's license. I didn't watch movies for probably about 5 years. Because I was busy, right? I was busy living life. A free bird. Driving around with the boys, picking up girls, doing things illegally, you know? I mean, it's the funnest time to do it, I guess. Because once you hit 18, stakes are too high. It's kind of like drinking. Like it's, I like drinking. I enjoy it. But when you drink it, I'm going to shut up. I'm going to get in trouble. Okay, Bullworth. This is so I told you earlier the Fugees all went solo after they broke up, and Praz had a huge single as a solo artist, Ghetto Superstar with Maya and Old Dirty Bastard, ODB, from the Wu-Tang Clan. Great song. And ODB was also talking like Lauryn Hill. He's also featured in my book, Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic. He said a lot. I'm going to read you the passage from the book so you don't even have to pick it up. Notorious B.I.G. also spoke about his death on Suicidal Thoughts, the last track on Ready to Die. I swear to God, I feel like death is effing calling me. You honestly can't make this stuff up. At some point, you have to believe these rappers had the foresight to know what was going to happen to them. Another rapper who knew his fate was Wu-Tang Clan's Old Dirty Bastard, ODB. He publicly talked about how Tupac and Big were taken out and how the FBI and President Bush were going to get him next. And of course, he did die. I think they say from a drug overdose, but we can never be too sure. I mean, his name was Old Dirty Bastard, so maybe. This includes lyrics to the song Diesel, where he is specifically crying out for help. I need help because the black man is God. That's a 5%er thing, right? The government is after me, and the worst is black man is the devil. They already did Tupac, my children, all 6 billion humans. Biggie Smalls on the planet Earth, somebody help me. Then he had that song, Got Your Money, like, hey, dirty. And he talks about how the FBI is watching him. He says, I'm the ODB, as you can see. FBI, don't you be watching me. Remember that? In an interview he had with Method Man and ZTV, he talks about similar concepts I've laid out before with COINTELPRO and the deliberate assassinations of influential people. Interviewer, do you think those kinds of killings will go on? Referencing Tupac and Big. Method Man. No, I'm sorry. ODB first. Well, if it does, then it does. Hey, that's life. Method Man. Them killings been going on since day one. It's just people ain't recognized until somebody famous, you know? We've been crying out since effing day one. ODB. Somebody famous? Somebody famous? I can't even do it. Malcolm X. You want me to know about 1,000 of them? Jesus. Meth. You know how many Biggie Smalls and Tupacs there is out there that fell victim? We was brought up in a system that didn't give a F about us. So these guys were talking about it way back then. Now, was old DB assassinated by the FBI? I don't know. He sure was talking about it an awful lot. But the film Bullworth, which I haven't seen, it follows the title character, California Senator J. Billington Bullworth, that's played by Warren Beatty, as he runs for re-election while trying to avoid a hired assassin. So there's that assassin connection, right? And he's apparently ready to die. I guess he's going to commit suicide, and he hires a hitman to kill him so that his daughter can get his life insurance money. So he starts drinking and letting loose and not being so politically correct as a politician, which is always the trope you see in these movies. It's like when Chris Rock in that one movie, he runs for president. And he's just a funny, normal guy, you know? It's a trope. They want the politician who just says it like it is. But he apparently, in the movie, talks trash about the American healthcare system and even says how, I guess he says everyone should have sex with everyone so that we're all the same color, which, I mean, it would cut down on the divisiveness, right? It will cool out a little bit. But yeah, that's what's going on with Praz and Lauren there. It makes me wonder if Lauren Hill was plugged into Praz's network a little bit and maybe saw what was going on, and that's why she backed out. Or maybe it fueled her desire to be this, quote, conspiracy theorist. So in conclusion, on April 27th, Praz was found guilty of illegal lobbying on behalf of the Chinese government. And to me, the bigger conspiracy is that musicians get sucked into the system. They constantly tell us about it and warn us about it, and they really get screwed up by it. Praz took all that money to try and gain influence, and he maybe even earned some more money. The prosecution claims that he was seeking a way to get paid since his music career was basically over. And again, he says he was an informant for the FBI. So what level of interaction was that? I don't know. And Lauren Hill, she had a real disdain for all that fame. She backed away entirely many times. Maybe she saw the feds getting involved in the rap game like ODB warned us about. And then Praz sort of confirmed it. And she's like, I don't want nothing to do with none of you. And then the media did what they did and tried to put her on blast. And Wyclef, he seemed to get through just fine, I guess. He's playing the cards right, I guess. But it's been an interesting last few years, all right? In conclusion, we've seen this reversal in mass consciousness, a reexamination of our beliefs from the thoughts that we've had in the past. Because the conspiracy theorists have had a real major turn of events in the last few years. And you can chalk all this up to the government's UFO disclosure, to lab leak theories possibly coming true, to, you know, this old hat, FBI COINTELPRO, CIA Mockingbird ops. Because what they're doing is they're messing with the public. They're messing with the public perception. There's these films, you know, and music. There's conspiracy theories about celebrities being victims of MKUltra, even, that have come true more often. Like with the Kanye West, Harley Pasternak, where he showed us those texts where Harley was talking about putting him in the sunken place where he won't see his kids again after he medicates them. Like, jeez. But it's all starting to be exposed publicly right now. And this is where the truthers do a service for the world. And I know I'm saying earlier, I said, don't just wholeheartedly believe them. And I stand by that. Like, listen to them. But you have to also process what they're saying and try to see if it's entirely correct. The paranoia we've all had is sometimes the right lens to view the world. Sometimes we're correct. Sometimes we're not, is what I'm saying. And this is where the mainstream media and a lot of these trusted institutions, which I want to believe, I'd like to believe what they're telling us is the truth, but they've let us down too many times. And a lot of people don't believe them anymore. So they turn to conspiracy theorists. They're like, oh, you guys are the right ones. Well, sometimes we let you down too. You got to have an independent thought, an independent mind. You got to think outside the box sometimes. You got to take all these inputs and determine your version of reality. Like I always say, choose your own reality, right? Because the truthers aren't always entirely correct, and the mainstream media aren't always entirely correct. And this, and conversely, the truthers aren't always entirely wrong, and the mainstream media isn't always entirely wrong, right? I'm just saying we can't commit ourselves to a singular worldview and just plant our flag in it and say, that's the truth. I'm only going to listen to the things that support my truth. You have to stay balanced. And you got to stay woke. All right. Thanks for listening to me ramble on about all this stuff. Thank you for being a supporter on whichever supporter platform you're on. I appreciate you all. The Apple people, they actually don't share your email IDs with me, so I don't know who's on there. I just get numbers on a spreadsheet. But like Patreon, I do see that, right? And same with Rockfin. Obviously, same with the VIP section. That's my baby right there. So anyways, thank you for whatever platform you're on. I appreciate you actually keep this podcast going and keep it alive. It's challenging sometimes. And it's not challenging to do the research. I enjoy it. It's challenging to say things that not everybody loves sometimes. And you would think, you know, you see that message always over and over in the movies and on TV. Like, oh, just be yourself and don't let anybody influence you. And I always thought that was kind of silly. But now that I've been putting myself out there for many years, and I read the comments, and sometimes it's brutal. So anyway, I thank you for sticking with me. I know a lot of you don't agree with me on everything, and that's fine. That's what I just was talking about here. We don't have to. And I can even be brought over to the other side of the aisle sometimes. But I do appreciate you sticking with me, listening to the show, and supporting me. Until next time, stay woke.